Well, welcome to 2020, eh? Exciting, happy new year to you. And we were saying to Roy, who's walked in the door, it already seems a long time ago, doesn't it really? You know, suddenly we get into the year and away we go and it's and life's happening already. And so I thought this morning, over the next few weeks, if you like, we're going to be next week, we're thinking a bit about how I know it's a bit corny, but 2020 vision, you know. If you saw the email this week, don't look at me like that, Gregor. but, you know, using that little 2020 vision, I don't know about you, if you saw my email this week or the Facebook post there, it just conjures up in me that thought of like 20 years past. You know, last year was 20 years as a church. This August, we'll have lived here 20 years in Haverhill. And my goodness, that's gone fast, hasn't it? And that's just sort of conjures up in me the thought of thinking and reflecting on the last 20 years and thinking, well, what has happened and where have we come from and what's going on? But also then generating that thought that says that actually we've had 20 years, but why not another 20 years? And that being in faith for the long haul and thinking a bit about that. And so I've been playing around with those thoughts, if you like, really. And so the next sort of couple of weeks, so that's why I'm sort of used this little expression, 2020 vision, okay? And I know it's corny, sorry, but so next week we're going to think a bit about us as a church and perhaps some of the things that we might want to walk into this year and about our life together. I don't know about you, but I feel excited at the moment. It feels like there's a new buzz in the things that we're doing and some things have started last year and we just want to, you know, remember a few years ago I used that little, start of the year with that, message around sow where you want to grow, and we're starting to see some of those things grow that we sowed a few years back. But actually that's a life principle. I could preach that message every new year, every year, and it would still be relevant, the idea that we need to sow where you want to grow. And so it's exciting seeing some of those things coming, and we'll think a bit about that next week. And then the week after that we'll think a little bit about our own personal world in terms of what are we holding in vision for ourselves and that. But today, I want to just, in one sense, just think about the flip side of the message that I shared last week. Let's have a little, is that great? So last week, thought from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, from that little passage there about how it is God's will in Christ for us to rejoice at all times, to pray constantly, to give thanks in every circumstance. And as we were thinking that, we were thinking about how we could finish the year well, and how even in the most awful times sometimes we should be looking to think, how can I grow through that? Where can I give thanks for the idea that I have learnt something, even in the bad times as well as the good times? And so we thought around that last week about the idea of finishing the year well, finishing the year with an attitude of thanksgiving rather than regret. Okay, there might be areas where we do have regret, but that our dominant force of our hearts is the inclinations towards God is to say, I'm going to try and find where I can give you thanks in some way, God. And so we thought about that last week. So I want to work the flip side of that message now, is that we finish the year with thankful hearts, with an attitude of thanksgiving, but we start the year with an attitude of faith. And so that's what I want to just think around today. And in one sense, I'm just going to give you reflections and stuff today, so I hope that's okay. And we're going to dig into Hebrews chapter 11 in just a moment. So thinking around the idea of faith, are we starting the year with faith? Because there's a lot of things going on in our world right now, isn't there? You know, we look around the world, even just the last week, the attacks on, or the bombing by the US of and the assassination, if you like, of that general, you know, can lift up certain fear things in us, can't it? The things that we see around the world. And are we going to live in fear, or even in the way that we see the awful things that we see around the world, are we still going to be people who use faith as we approach those things? You know, are we going to be people who, even when we see things that worry us in world events, we still run towards Christ rather than running towards our fears? We'll come back to that thought in a moment. There may be things that in your own life where you struggled constantly with your own character and things that you might call sin or things that just brought you down and you're thinking, I'm never going to beat this. Are you going to live in that place, or this year are you going to walk in faith and say, you know what, I'm going to address that. I'm going to find something in Christ that's going to help me to move past that. There might be other things in your world right now. It might be in your family circumstances. It might be in your work context where things are going on. And are you going to settle for the things that crush, the things that discourage, or are you going to say, I'm going to find a place in Christ. I'm going to find something in God that's going to help me to find a new faith. So I'm just going to, if you've got your Bible and you want to turn to it, you can. If not, I'm just going to walk through this quite slowly and going to think some thoughts from Hebrews chapter 11 this morning, if that's okay. Hopefully my voice will hold out. I'm still got my cold, but it's getting better. Yeah, come on, it's getting better. You'll be happy. I mean, I wonder how many of us have had those. You know, everybody's like Christmas, and then suddenly it's like we all stop and we all get in. But anyway, away we go. Hebrews chapter 11. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So as I mentioned, you know, there are often many things around us that can cause us to not be certain. You know, faith, there's a little boy who was once asked, what is faith? When, you know, what does faith mean? And he said, believe in something that's not true. And often we can embrace faith like that and thinking, actually, you know, it's about, but really the biblical faith is about embracing something that is solid and certain. That faith is, I don't actually believe in the idea of blind faith. I think it's given a little something to stand on. But it's, you know, it's interesting that the Hebrews here puts, this is what the ancients were commended for. He immediately roots faith and approach to faith, this teaching that he's going to bring here on faith, into the experiences of others. So he's saying, if you want to look into faith, if you want to be a person who builds your life on believing in what God can do and in believing that God can work in you and through you and with you and all of those things, you know, look at some of the other lives that have been lived. Look at some of the other things that have happened, because that's going to give you substance for believing that God is with you in your circumstances. And so today I really want to just get into that thought about living this year by faith, living this year in faith. And when we talk about faith, we're not just talking some abstract, let's have a positive mental attitude. That's not what we're talking about with faith. Although that gets into it, it's in there a little bit. I'm not going to do a real teach on faith today, okay? I think we did that a couple of years ago. You can go and have a look online if you want for that. But we're not talking about positive mental attitude. We're talking about believing in something that God has put in our hearts. And we'll come back and think a little bit more about defining faith in a while. What it's also not about is not just about declaring things and thinking that they'll happen. It's faith is about something that is real and tangible that God has put within our hearts and that we know is true beyond true, if you like. So, and so then he wants to, the writer to the Hebrews wants to unpack this a little bit. I have to remember to keep flicking this. So by faith, we understand the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. So he starts his teaching on faith here, on talking about the God who created out of nothing. There's this lovely little expression in Latin, creato ex nihilo. I don't know why, it's one of those little phrases that rolls off the tongue really lovely, doesn't it? The idea that the God who often many of the miracles that we see in the New Testament are where God creates something, or in the scriptures generally, are where God creates something out of something else, where he transforms something that already exists. So Adam was of the dust, and God created man out of the earth, didn't he? So he created us from something. Jesus turned water into wine. You know, he fed the 5,000 out of one little boy's lunchbox, you know. And so often the miraculous flows from something that is already existing and God transforming that or multiplying that and making something happen. And so the normal in the miraculous perhaps is God saying, what is that you have in your hand? What is it that we can work with here? What is it that we can grow, that we can expand? You know, we often look for the miraculous out there, the something that, you know, is just where there is nothing. But actually often the miraculous starts with God saying, give me the little that you have and we'll do something with it. Sometimes the miraculous starts with God saying, let's give me what you have and we'll transform it and we'll change it. Give me what you have and we'll breathe some life into it and we'll make it happen. And maybe that's true for you in your world this year, that there's something that you already have Something that's in your hand. There was Moses, God said to him, what's that in your hand? And then he used it to become the instrument that would part the waters, that would do all these amazing miracles. What is it that's in your hand? Maybe there's that. But actually, we go beyond that this year to trust in a God who can do even more than that, who can create the water that turns into wine, who by the power of his word just spoke and the universe was formed. Now, sometimes we forget that, don't we? The capacity of our God. There's some things that we're going to be challenged to do as a church community, and if God doesn't turn up and do it, it ain't going to happen. Are we up for that this year? What's the level of our expectation? Are we those that are going to rest in a God who created something out of nothing? And then there was Abel. The story of, I always find this a fascinating insertion in this passage. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks even though he is dead. Why include that little story there? Maybe it's the idea that Abel, he gave the first fruits of his crops. He gave, whereas Cain just gave some of his crop. And maybe that what we're seeing there is that Cain is saying, that Abel is saying, I trust you, I'm God, enough to give away something that I could really do with myself. I'm going to trust you for the provision of life, the things that will sustain life, food in other words. I'm going to trust you with that, God. And so there is something in that little story where by faith he says, I'm giving away because I know that God can still look after me. And maybe then in the course of this year, it might be something that where you're challenged by God to give something away, even though you think, I really could do with that. I could really need that. Maybe there will be some areas where you're going to have to trust God for the provision of the sustenance of life. And that's okay. It's a stretch, but maybe. And then there's the next story that he puts in there is Enoch. Again, interesting. Enoch, it says, was Enoch didn't actually physically do the dying bit. They never had a funeral for Enoch. He just went. God literally just took him back into heaven. And because he lived this amazing, righteous life, God just took him into heaven. And again, why include that? Perhaps the thing that the writer of the Hebrew wants us to see here is that faith also includes believing that what we do in this life leads into eternity. That we're trusting a God who is not just able to create out of nothing. We're trusting a God who is not just able to provide in this life, but we are a God who can take us into the next life. A God who starts life, provides for life, and sustains life beyond into eternity. Where's your faith levels today, hey? What are we trusting for with God? This is the God who is calling us into his great adventure, into the adventure of life, the adventure that he's called the Christian life. But, it's so sad that so often that Christian life is seen as some boring, dry old thing, And yet actually we're called into the most amazing adventure because we have the God who can create life, walk us through life, and give us eternal life. Wow, that's something. And so then we start getting into some of the practical ones, don't we? Noah was a man who was called to construct a boat that took him, it's about 100 years or so, wasn't it, to build this boat? That's a long time. You've ever done a housing build, how long did it take you to build your house? That felt like too long, didn't it? 3 years. If you've ever done a building project, this is a long one. He was being called to build something, even though he didn't really know fully what the end result of that was. That's interesting, isn't it? And he didn't really know what that was actually really going to do at the end. I'm sure he thought there was just going to be some sort of big... Well, I don't know whether he knew there was going to be a flood. I don't know whether he thought that he would have to wheel it down to some seaside resort or something, But sometimes we're told to build something, even though we've only got a glimpse of its purpose. That's interesting in itself, isn't it? Being called to build something, even though we only have a little glimpse of what it might mean at the end. Building something where others ridicule us. Building something that actually in the long run will rescue others, even though at the beginning we think, oh my goodness, this seems a bit weird. All we could say about Abraham, wow, this great man of faith, called to go on a journey to a place that he was uncertain of. this wasn't, he couldn't just jump in the Jag, you know, and go and have a little look down the road and see what this was like, have a little recce and think, yeah, maybe God's in this. He had to take a long journey by foot to a land he didn't know, even though where he lives was a pretty comfortable place. Yeah, I think Abraham had a reasonably decent life where he lived, and he was called to travel, to go to a place that he was unfamiliar with, to do something that was going to be the beginning of a whole new expression of the kingdom of God on earth. Not all of us are called to do those sorts of things, but some of us are. Some of us are called to go to a place that we don't know, to do something that we feel ill-equipped to do, with the minimal resources, not knowing how it's all going to come together. And that was Abraham's story. Maybe that might be your story this year. Abraham was told that he could have kids. He was going to have a child, even though him and his missus, putting it bluntly, were past it. You know. And yet God provided and did what he said he was going to do. We might think, well, actually, the place for me having children, it might not be physical children. It might be spiritual children. It might be, you know, thinking, how am I going to pass on what God has given me? Maybe. That might be. And Abraham is an example of somebody who had to trust God for that. Abraham gets three mentions here. We see that Abraham, I've missed one actually, haven't I? Oh no, I haven't, that's right, sorry. Can you hold just 1 minute before I break this thing? Talk amongst yourselves, tell jokes, whatever it may be, excuse me. This thing. Abraham also was asked to offer his son, wasn't he, as a sacrifice, Isaac. Intriguing story, and I think that we often get that wrong, really. The point was that he needed to appreciate that the giving the sacrifice of your child is not an acceptable sacrifice. It was not one that God was ever going to ask, and neither should that be part of the fabric of the nation that would come from his loins. That wasn't meant to be part of that. But inside of that, Abraham believed that God could give the child back, the writer to the Hebrews tells us. And so perhaps what we see there is the idea that Abraham knew that God wouldn't actually ultimately take away that which he provided. If this was the promise, this was what God had told him would be the means to bring about the future that he had promised, somehow or another in that equation, Abraham knew that God would still do what he said. And maybe at the moment you're walking in something where you know that God has told you to do that, and yet somehow or another it feels threatened. Somehow or another you think it's going to be taken away. Somehow or another you think maybe it's not going to come about. And today I would love to encourage you to just realize that God does not take away that which he has called you to do. It might feel threatened sometimes. You might have to battle for it. Sometimes you might have to work it through, but God still gets his will done and will still walk with you in that. Isaac and Jacob blessed their children and future generations. And so for them, faith was about believing that God was going to do something with future generations and investing in that, blessing them. Joseph gave directions for a long time after he had died. Moses' parents saved their child. Things we could talk about them. We can't talk about them all on here, I'm afraid. Moses is an interesting one, isn't he? Oh, Moses is a fascinating character in the Old Testament, isn't he? What a complicated, you could write a whole thesis on that guy's psychology and the things that he had to go through and his identity crisis and all that he had and all sorts of things. But somewhere in the middle of all that, Moses found who he was in God. And he chose, once he knew who he was in God, he chose to not embrace the comforts of Pharaoh's household, to not live in the luxury that he had been brought up in, to not embrace the opportunity for privilege for the sake of blessing and helping the disadvantaged, the oppressed, those that had their privilege, their basic human rights abused and taken away from them. And sometimes we're called to do that as well, aren't we? To not necessarily to give up some of our own privilege, to give up some of our own comforts, to give up some of our own what we think could be our human rights, in order to be able to help those that are disadvantaged, to release those that are oppressed, to bring them out of bondage, And Moses stands as a great example for that. And maybe this year, for some of us, one or two of us, we may feel that God tells you you've got to give up some of your luxury, some of your privileges, for the sake of helping the oppressed, helping somebody else who does not enjoy what you enjoy is their natural norm of life. Maybe that will be where you will be this year. And so then we get this great list of different people, great heroes of the faith, those who were sawn in two, those who were buried in caves, you know, buried in the ground. You know, it doesn't read like the most. When we tell faith stories, when we talk about, you know, these great examples of faith, we like to talk about the person who's been healed, don't we? We like to talk about the people who's received £1 million from an anonymous donor. We like to talk about all those great stories, don't we? But actually, the writer to the Hebrews chooses to tell us that the great heroes of faith were those who were chopped in two, lived in caves, were chased away, but lived really difficult lives as well. Now, that's not been all miserable and negative, but it's a little bit more real, isn't it? It's a little bit more real knowing that whatever rubbish you're going through right now, you can still be a hero in the faith. No matter what difficult moments you're going through, you can still be a hero in the faith. In fact, it gets to the point where the writer of the Hebrews sums it up and says that all these people, through faith, conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, and obtained what was promised. Well, there's a whole message in there, and I've preached that a few times, that particular message. But that faith, summed up in this passage, is about conquering kingdoms. Now, in those days, it might have been physical kingdoms, but for us, it's more perhaps about spiritual kingdoms, where we see the demonic at work, where we see the devil oppressing people through the philosophies and the institutions and the ways of hurting people that we see sewn into the fabric of our society and our world. You know, we as the church are called to conquer those kingdoms, to break the power of those things, to pray that the kingdom of heaven comes on earth and replaces the kingdom of darkness wherever we may see it. And that might be your challenge this year. Your challenge is to break the power of something that is oppressing somebody else, that is an expression of the kingdom of darkness, and bring the kingdom of light into that situation. And every time we help somebody come out of debt, we're bringing the kingdom of heaven into the kingdom of darkness. Every time we help somebody overcome their pain, their grief, we're bringing the kingdom of heaven into an expression of the kingdom of darkness. Every time we help a person who has been oppressed to find some freedom in life, we are bringing the kingdom of heaven into the kingdom of darkness. Sometimes it's little things, sometimes it's big things. Enforce justice. My word, that's a big one, isn't it? Have you ever walked with somebody who's experienced injustice? It's a horrible thing, isn't it? It's a horrible thing. And yet we're called to try and stand up. I felt quite challenged a little while ago. Somebody sort of basically talking about how I'm very careful about how I express my political views. Sometimes that's really because I think I don't really know what I think about that, or I don't want to look stupid, which is legitimate then, isn't it, really? But actually, sometimes it's just because I think, well, I don't know really whether church leaders are meant to have political views. But actually, when we see, and I was talking with somebody recently, I felt quite challenged that I probably feel I'm too silent on that sometimes. Because really, actually, sometimes we are called to have a voice. I don't personally think it's right to be, as a pastor, to be representing, to be sort of partisan in terms of party politics. But I do believe it's right to stand up for the need of the oppressed, to stand up for where, to challenge injustice when we see it, and to do something about that. And maybe for some of us, that's our story this year, and obtained promises. Now, the scripture's full of promises, and so in that sense, we could say inhabiting the promises of God. But equally, some of us here, you have promises written over your lives of things that God has called you to do. And maybe you put them on the shelf, because life can get you down, can't it? Life can make you think, you know, well, is that really going to happen? And I'm sad to say, as you get a bit older, you can get a bit like that, and get a little less passionate. There's an old Robbie Marks song that says something like men of a certain age, stay seated around things that they used to stand for. And you can get like that, can't you? You just get a bit weary in life. You think, oh, you know, I know God told me to do that. Maybe it's a time to pick up some promises and start walking into them. things that God, I can't quantify where that is for you. But, so this year, I appreciate in many ways what I've said today is very much about reflections and think. But maybe for this year, maybe the challenge I want to put before us as we start this year is let's live this year in the attitude of faith, shall we? Not, like I said, positive mental attitude, but faith. In a place where we say, I am going to believe God for that, for this year to be significant. I'm going to believe God that I'll overcome that character trait that I've struggled with for so many years. So many of us as Christians live in perpetual defeat because we can. We live in perpetual defeat because the grace of God enables us to. We get forgiveness again and again. And of course, in terms of our relationship with God, he is gracious and he's kind. But actually, we find ourselves living in a place where we're not being as significant as we could, because God can't release us as fully as he could if we didn't deal with that thing. And so maybe for one of the two of us this year, don't let that crushing thing continue to crush you. Get some faith into it. Believe that the God of heaven, the one who can create out of nothing, can help you to say no now and again. Can help you to walk into some freedom. Maybe you're finding yourself living in that fear thing. Let's choose faith over fear, shall we? Maybe in your family scenario, there's some things where you've just got to trust God for more. You just got to keep trusting God. Choose faith. Choose faith. Maybe in your workplace, you've been thinking you've been sidelined or it's not happening for you. Or what's got, you know, choose faith to believe that God has placed you where he's placed you for significance. Let's get away from this idea of full-time Christian ministry, shall we? Because we are all. If you are a Christian, somebody who has said, I have given my life to Christ, you are in Christian ministry. And in your workplace, exercise faith. Exercise faith. Believe that God has called you into that place for significance this year. How do we move into faith? How do we grow in faith? Like I said, today's not a message where I'm really unpacking the word faith. But the two main ways that we grow in faith, well, really the big one, is first is relationship. Faith is not about finding some abstract scripture and saying, this must now happen because it's written here. Faith is about getting into a relationship with Jesus. And as you are in that relationship, you discover his will and his ways. Jesus said, I only do that which I see the Father doing. In other words, I'm not going to step out and make it happen unless I see my dad doing it. You know, and that meant that he had to know him. He had to be walking with him. He had to have a relationship with him. And so faith flows primarily from that place where we, in through prayer and walking with God, we discover God's heart and we find that somehow or another, in that moment, God injects something into us. In that friendship that we have with him, where you think, yeah, I'm going to believe him for this now. I'm meant to do this. Faith is about, primarily is fueled by relationship and also by revelation, by getting to know who he is. The scriptures tell me what God is and isn't likely to do. There's some things that God ain't going to give me faith for, and it's never going to be his will that I rob a bank, okay? So I may as well just like write that one off for a moment. I'd probably be rubbish at it anyway, so it's not going to happen. But faith, you know, the scriptures, the Holy Spirit, the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives, he affirms to us, he helps that to grow. And through hearing the experiences of other people, when we do hear other people's experiences of faith, of walking with God, it does encourage us, doesn't it? And it does strengthen us and walks with us. So, 2020, hey, a year of faith, expectancy. If we finish with an attitude of thanksgiving for last year, we move with an attitude of faith. If you hear nothing else, hear this, won't you? I'm not saying let's move into 2020 with a positive mental attitude. That's a good thing. That's okay. If that's what you do, it won't be a bad thing. But I'm not saying that. I'm saying move into 2020 with an attitude of faith, of believing in the God who can create life, who can sustain life, and who can take us into eternal life. Let's start with that attitude, shall we? Let's pray.